Morgan Startup Series.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here, and as part of the Morgan's Startup Series, I'm joined by Alison Hardacre from HealthKit. Alison, thanks so much for being part of this series.
Congratulations on what you've done with the series already.
Thank you very much. Alison, can you tell us about HealthKit, what it is, how the idea came about, and I suppose where the business is now?
Sure. So HealthKit is ultimately a health system for health systems everywhere. So we're designed to run all aspects of the health system. So practice software for practices such as GPs, medical specialists, allied health, as well as aged care, and ultimately we'll get into hospitals. We also have services for consumers and patients, so people can find a practitioner, book in to see them, as well as we've also created a single patient record so people can track all of their healthcare across their whole care team. We also integrate medical devices. So say somebody has, for example, diabetes, they have to track their blood glucose every day. So they can track that through a medical device, which integrates with our single patient record, and they can share that with their practitioners. So practitioners can remotely monitor their patients. So our goal is to bring all of the health system together and make it better for everybody. If you've looked at healthcare, it can be quite inefficient. So if we can help practitioners run their practice really efficiently, they can get back an hour a day, which means that people who want to see a practitioner are more likely to be able to get in to see them. So we're starting to address unmet patient need. And over time, we start to measure effectiveness. We do that in Australia as well as globally. So we, myself and my business partner, we set up HealthKit in 2012. And before that, we'd run a similar business, but just in Australia. So HealthKit is a global platform in the health space. So by bringing both sides together, both the consumers and practitioners, we can control the health sector, make it more efficient, so create sector-wide benefits. But also, it's very difficult from an investment point of view. It's very difficult to dislodge a business once they've got both sides of the market. So we want to do what we've done in Australia globally. So HealthKit's a global version of what we've done before. And the reason we entered the health market was we saw there was a massive opportunity because health is the last industry to be digitized. But there's also a massive opportunity to make healthcare better for everybody. And so that's for consumers, make it easier to find and get in to see a practitioner, as well as for practitioners. So they have gone to university for 6 years at least, and they don't want to be managing invoicing and appointments. They just want to be treating patients. So if we can manage all that practice side of things for them, but also help them manage their patient records better and build a network effect, then we're improving the health system for every participant. So we now have 18,000 practitioners in HealthKit. We have patient records for close to 10% of the Australian population. And we also have consumers, thousands of consumers, using our directory every day to find a practitioner, as well as to track their own health. But we've really only done 1% of what we want to do. So we have practitioners in 50 different countries and consumers as well. And we're looking to expand all of that over the next few years and really start to dominate other markets beyond Australia.
Alison, you mentioned a number of problems there within the health sector which you are solving. When you started out with HealthKit, did you say, right, I just want to solve this problem first, or did you think, okay, hang on a second, there's an opportunity here to solve a lot of problems?
When we started HealthKit, yes, it was very much about solving all of those problems together because healthcare is a wicked problem and you need to solve all of those problems together. But when we started the first business, it was very much looking at one single problem. So this is going way back. The single problem we were trying to solve was helping people in rural areas get access to treatment. And so we looked at online consultations in particular. So we started to develop the business back then. It was called something different, and then realised there was a very large opportunity, not just in online consultations, but in face-to-face consultations, because healthcare is the last industry to be digitised. What we were creating to support the online consultations, appointments and invoices and patient records, was relevant for everywhere in healthcare, including face-to-face. So we pivoted, built face-to-face business, i.e. services for practitioners who were treating patients face-to-face as well as online. And then we saw there were a lot more opportunities to make their practices more efficient, which would have flow-on effects. So we exist for the patient. We exist to make healthcare better for the patient. But in order to do that, you have to improve healthcare for the practitioner, because the biggest issue in healthcare, and ultimately most innovations in healthcare get back to this, is that doctors don't need more patients. They're busy enough with the ones they've got. But patients need more appointments. And so if you can make practices more efficient, you can get more patients in to see the practitioner and do that in a variety of ways. Even if somebody is not seeing one of our practitioners, they can actually run their manage their healthcare through HealthKit by themselves. And so it started out as solving one problem and then has expanded. And then, of course, we've looked at the global market. So we've really thought very big about doing what we're doing. And I would say, you know, 2012, we were completely crazy thinking that we could build a health system for every health system in the world, given that every health system is different. But that was what we had to solve in order to go global.
Alison, you mentioned going global from day one a couple of times, and before you also touched on thinking big. How important is it to think big, particularly in a business which you mentioned has that network effect? And another question on the side of that is, how far through are you on that network effect?
I think from Australia it's really important to think global from the very start. In healthcare, it traditionally hasn't been thought of in global terms because every health system is different. So across every aspect of healthcare where we look, where we work, most of our competitors would be solely in that country. But you can never really build a massive business and have a massive impact unless you're global and pulling in learnings from different health systems and different customer bases all over the world. And so that is critical for our success. In terms of the network effect, that is absolutely critical for getting to the next level of benefit for our customers. In terms of Australia, we have a market share of between 25 and 30%. And in terms of our directory, it's one of the most used in Australia. The network effect is critical for our single patient record, but it's also critical for building up the importance of the HealthKit network. So we've achieved a fair bit in Australia, and we're wanting to replicate that into other markets while also expanding our impact and the impact of the network in Australia. So, for example, because we customise for each different profession, we have practitioners of all professions using HealthKit, and we enable secure messaging between our practitioners across all of our network. And so that means there's more value being in the HealthKit network than there is not being in the HealthKit network. So we're starting to realise that value for practitioners, but we've also realised that value for patients, because patients will now go to practitioners and ask, are you part of HealthKit? Because they want their practitioner to be able to share their record across their care team.
What's been the biggest challenge of the business over the last 4 years? Has it been going global? Has it been data security? Or has it been something as easy as finding good people?
We've had all the same challenges that most other startups and high-growth ventures in Australia have had, plus a lot more. And so I would say, you know, big challenges in Australia are around funding. And then that leads to recruitment challenges. Last year, we completed a round of capital with a fantastic investor, and that has enabled us to expand the team three or fourfold. And that has, in turn, ramped up our aspirations, but also what we're doing for practitioners, our market share in Australia, as well as our ability to be global. I think there's a challenge also in being global in a sector that is not traditionally thought of as global, and that can be one of communication. So at first, when we were starting to develop the business, the concept of a platform whereby you have once both sides of the market coming together was not necessarily as understood as it is now. So that was very hard to communicate. I think also because we're global in the health system, communicating how we're actually able to achieve that has been somewhat difficult, although we've communicated through getting traction overseas. The traction beats everything. And so we're in 50 different countries now. We've just started translating the software into other languages.
In regards to feedback on the product from when you built the product and as part of an MVP you mentioned to where you are now, have you got feedback from the consumer side or the medical practitioner side, and how important has that been in designing your product?
Oh, we wouldn't have been able to do it without getting practitioners and consumers using the software at all. So, for example, on the practitioner side, you know, because healthcare is just so complex, there's a real desire sometimes to just spend 2 or 3 years developing the product before launching it on the market. Now, what that means is you're not actually going to get consumer feedback. And so we got consumer and practitioner feedback right from the very start because we worked out which parts of the software we could sell from the very start. So we always saw distribution as its own product within our business. And so we have grown between 1 and 5% each week for the last 3 or 4 years. And so therefore we're always getting that feedback. But what we have learnt is that because we've always had those customers and it grows so much, we've not just built a product, we've built a business. So we understand how to sell and how to sell in an incredibly cost-effective way. So our cost of acquisition for a doctor is about 50 or 60 cents. And we've also learnt that service is absolutely critical. And so in going global, setting up service teams is actually what is enabling us to expand internationally rather than setting up sales teams. So in healthcare, seconds count. And so if somebody emails us or contacts us in business hours in Australia, they will get a response and a resolution within 15 minutes. And this is a sector where traditionally response time is about 2 or 3 days. And so that is what has enabled us to get very large word of mouth effect as well as build a better business. So even though it would be more of a fantasy to build the business first and build the product first and then get customers, by getting customers right from the very start, we've built a much better business and a much more scalable business, and we've learnt everything we need to know for the next step along the way.
Since you've started the business, there's probably been a shift in technology to more of the mobile from the desktop, and how has your business adapted to that? And is there any other technologies out there that fascinate you that could enhance the efficiencies or, I suppose, you know, change your industry?
Oh, healthcare is forever changing, but it's also forever staying the same. And so one of the things that we've had to solve when we've built our business has been that aspect that healthcare is always changing because governments are always changing the funding regime, which impacts practitioners, it impacts consumers, it impacts patients. And so having that flexibility to handle it all has been incredibly important. What we've found with practitioners is that they have been slower in taking up mobility aspects of their health, of their practice. And so that has meant that we have had to develop our desktop software much faster than our mobile side. In terms of consumers, that's where mobile has been absolutely critical and it's taken off. So making our software far more responsive for consumers has been really important. I think the other thing that has changed from 2012 has been the integration options. And so we've really heavily focused on that from 2012. So integrating medical devices, integrating other services into HealthKit, as well as integrating HealthKit through to different funding bodies around the world.
Alison, how important is it to set goals? And they can be big goals and they can also be short goals, but where do you fit in the spectrum? Do you work from week to week or do you think, okay, here's where I want to be and no one's going to stop me?
Oh, very much the latter. you've always got to be thinking about the big goal. And for us, it's making healthcare better everywhere, because every day you get up and you deal with difficult issues, and that's all by 9 a.m. And so you wouldn't be able to do that unless you were passionate about that big goal. We then separate goals out mainly by 6 week lots. And so the reason why we do 6 weeks is because we find the business grows so fast that 6 weeks is where it changes. So looking at our, say, a practitioner base of 18,000 in a cottage industry such as health software for doctors, that is very large, probably the largest in the world, has 100,000 practitioners. Now, that would be great to achieve, and we hope to be able to achieve that by the end of next year. However, there's still an addressable market of 6 million practitioners in private practice around the world, and most of them are not using software. So that's our goal in terms of achieving customer sign-ups. But ultimately, the goal and what makes what we do fulfilling is that larger vision of making healthcare better for everybody everywhere.
Alison, on one final question, you're an entrepreneur and you started HealthKit, and you've been scaling that business incredibly fast for nearly 5 years or so. What are some tips that you can give to aspiring entrepreneurs, or some lessons that you've learned in your life that you could share with the listeners?
I think the first thing is thinking big from the very start. When we first started the business, a lot of advisors suggested that we start out niche. And then expand from there. The problem with that is that if you start out niche, you're very likely to remain niche. Whereas we had big goals from the start, and we knew, because healthcare is so complicated and interconnected, that we had to build everything for that interconnection right from the start. And so now that has come to fruition, given our size, but also given our global impact. And so it can be hard, because sometimes these advisors are very strong in their opinions, and you've just got to back yourself sometimes. I think the other thing is persistence, because, you know, it's a difficult world out there, and, you know, we've dealt with a lot of difficulties as well as most other startups have. And so having the persistence despite that is absolutely critical. I think also, and this sounds like a cliche, but getting the right people around you is important. But also having the flexibility to see that somebody may not have all the right experience, but have the right skills. And so I think in startups and high growth ventures, you have to hire for skills rather than for experience. The other thing that has been very critical to our success so far has been thinking of distribution as its own product right from the start. So not just thinking about the product, but thinking about how you're going to sell, thinking about how you're servicing customers right from the very start has meant that we've had a lot more success than otherwise. And so in healthcare, the standards that are required for what you deliver are much higher, because everything you do can have a patient impact. And in theory, if you make a mistake, it could mean that somebody doesn't get their treatment that they need. And in theory, that could mean that their treatment might be delayed and they could in fact die. So this isn't how we think, but sometimes customers might think that way because everything is so critical. So focusing our business on doing the right thing and having very high standards before we launch a new feature is really important. So I am somewhat critical of MVP, minimum viable product, in the health space, because you just have so much of a higher bar in healthcare. However, the benefit of an MVP approach is that you learn along the way, and we have taken that approach for our distribution. So we start off in one profession, expand into other professions, expand into other sectors, such as going from clinics through to other areas, maybe aged care or ultimately other areas within the health space, and that has been absolutely critical. So I think these rules are really helpful for people, but at the same time, they've been helpful for us because we're in healthcare. So it's understanding the sector that you're in and understanding what rules that you need to live by should be for you to succeed in that sector.
Alison, some tremendous insights there, and congratulations on what you've achieved with HealthKit thus far. It's an outstanding achievement, and there's a long way to go, as you mentioned, and to kick that network effect going along. But it's been a pleasure chatting to you today, and thanks so much for being part of this series.
Great to talk with you as well. Thank you.